Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish and gari. Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
See, I'll never be poor.
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
We have to look in the Word really quick. And I want to teach on living the Spirit-filled life. Living the Spirit-filled life. First, I want you to turn your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 18. You know, as a Christian, we ought to be continually filled with the Spirit. I remember I told you that there is the first filling. The first filling means the first time that thing was activated. Of course, the Holy Spirit as a person lives on the inside. Of course, the moment someone is born again, the Holy Spirit comes into that one to take his abode in the quarters of his heart, the person of the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit of God. If you turn to why you have your finger in Ephesians chapter number 5, let's go to Acts chapter number 2. I want to show you something there quickly. Acts chapter number 2. And reading from the first verse, it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, this is the first time that they will be filled with the Spirit. All right? They were filled, like that was activated. That power, that presence was activated in them. But sometimes, if you don't study further on these, you think that you may be thinking, what's he talking about? Because in the fourth chapter of the same book, I wanted to go there, fourth chapter, because these people that were filled with the Spirit in the fourth chapter of the same book, the 31st verse, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, talking about the same set of people, the apostles, Peter, and the rest, John, the rest were there. We just read that they were filled with the Spirit. Now, in the 31st verse, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God with boldness. But you notice here that he didn't say they speak with tongues. That other time, they speak with tongues because that was when it was first activated. Afterwards, they speak the word of God with boldness. That will also tell you something, that when we are filled, it leads to speaking, amongst several other things. Glory to God. It leads to speaking. So they speak the word of God with boldness. It brought about boldness every time you're filled. Now, what does it mean to be filled every time? I want to show you what Paul said along this line that must have got you thinking if you didn't understand it. Now, let's go back to that Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 now. The 18th verse. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Isn't it foolish that we have this in the Bible, and yet we still have some Christians that they think that to wipe away their problems is to go and get drunk? You know, at one time when they think of they are in a problem, in a dilemma, quagmire, and they think the best way to solve that out is to go and get drunk with alcohol, they think that after they are drunk with alcohol, the problem will automatically go away. No, it will not. Some of them think, well, at least for now, I don't want to think about it. But after the thing has gone off your face, the whole situation is still there. You see? I love another translation, NLT. NLT says, don't be drunk with alcohol. He says, for that will ruin your life. I love that. But yeah, he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 18 is where I'm reading. Then in the 19th verse, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another, and blah, blah, blah. I'll get back there. But here is it. As a Christian, when you were born again, you know, sometimes you have to be repeating these things for some people's sake. When you were born again, the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit, came to live in you. So your body became his temple. So our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost as a Christian when you were born again. Then, either immediately or on a certain day, you were filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, some people have told me to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit. If you want to call it that way, because in that sense, you have the person, but yet you don't have the power saturate you. In fact, the word is saturation. Okay, so it's like you stir something. Something has been there. It's like a residue. It's already there, but now you want it to go around. So you stir it. And I often use the this insecticide to give example. This gaseous one, of course, insecticide are gaseous, right? Okay, all right. So I use it. When you have it with you, it's there. But that does not mean that it has saturated that container. Sometimes you have to do this. And when you do that, you notice something. Everywhere will become cool. How many of you notice that? When you press it, the force with which it comes out, you know that, this thing is saturated. You know, that's a limitation of the description. But I just want to use it to explain this. So that's the same way. When the person of the person of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, but then there is the saturation of that power. Like Paul says, tear up the gift that is in you. That's called and there is a day it starts. The first day it starts, it ought to lead to speaking with tongues. But incidentally, for some people, that first day, because probably they were not properly taught, or because they didn't have the faith for it, or they didn't just want it, so they stop it when that thing starts to bubble and the tongues is coming. They think that's not tongues. It is. That's the first time you are filled with the Spirit. It leads to speaking with tongues. And that's what happened in the book of Acts chapter number 2. That's the first time. And so they were filled. And the Bible says they started speaking with tongues. And it was so funny to them and to their hearers. But it's because they were filled. Now, after this time out, we read in the fourth chapter, that's what we just read a few minutes ago, in the fourth chapter, that they were filled again. Excuse me, I thought they were filled before. No, because that feeling is continuum. You have to continually stir up that thing. That thing ought to continually saturate you. You understand? All the time. And that's what we came to read in Ephesians chapter number 5 verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Now, the construction be filled is not right. If you look at the margin, the proper way to put it is being filled. Being, B-E-I-N-G. That suggests continuous. So you are supposed to continuously be filled with the Spirit as a Christian if you want to live the life of dominion. You see, some of you, of course, you must have experienced this. You notice that how come yesterday night you were dry? In fact, you woke up in the morning, you were feeling dry, but then you stayed there and started speaking with tongues. And while you were praying with tongues right there, you were filled. That thing started moving. You see, again, you are up. Some people call it up again. You see, like you're alive again spiritually. And you feel like, wow, that's called being filled. So you are supposed to continue in that every time, every day. When you start out in the morning, and then in the afternoon, maybe that thing has dropped again. Oh, I love it. That means it could drop and you could bring it back. So maybe it has dropped again because of your environment, things you met, things you saw, things, you know, all this nonsense in the air, and it has dropped again. You can take your time out again to be filled. That's for even a low class. For higher class, you can stay filled all through the day. And the Bible tells us how, and I will show you shortly because it's right there. I want to show you from the Amplified. Oh boy, the spirit-filled life is a life of power, is a life of victory, life of wisdom, where your decisions just click. Pam, pam. That's even when you can live up to your potential in Christ. I want to read that to you from the Amplified. All right, turn to the same chapter, Book of Ephesians. I want to show it to you before I begin to explain what the word says on how you can be filled. Ephesians chapter number 5. Okay, from the Amplified, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled," I love this word, "and stimulated with the Holy Spirit." Stimulated. It could be in form of inspiration. You see, when you're filled, you have this strong inspiration. You don't want to be anywhere else. You just notice that that period is just worship. You just want to worship and worship. Your heart is just bubbling with joy, you know, because you're filled. But you can keep it all through the day. What I'm saying now is very important for a pastor. Otherwise, it will be carnal. Or how do you deal with situations when they call you up any time of the day? Your members, or as a minister, you have members that may call you up anytime because they look at you as, of course, a minister, a cell leader, so they want to call you up for situations. How do you respond when you're not filled? Carnally? Or you say, wait, let me go and pray first. But when you're filled, when you ought to say, I'll get back to you, you know. When you ought to say, you give the answer immediately, you know. Because the Spirit of God, don't you understand? It means that you are alive to the Spirit. You are up. It means to be up all the time. You are up there all the time. You are not down the valley. You are up the mountain. Do you understand? Every time you are full of the Holy Ghost. There's no time that you can't lay hands on someone. You say, wait, what do you want me to lay hands on? Okay, wait. Then you go inside first to pray. No! Anytime you can lay hands. Except if you are not instructed to. You see? Is a life of power. That means you are continually connected to the source of power. That's what it means. Do you know that you know we have power in this room? Look at that. Look at that. These are outlets, sockets. But, and then, of course, you have extension. Now, though there's power there, if you're not connected, you cannot enjoy the benefits. So the same way, this is your house. There is power there, but you have to be continually connected to enjoy the benefits. So that's what being filled will do for you. You are continually connected. Say hallelujah. All right. So I want to continue from the Amplified. Then he begins to tell us how to be filled with the Spirit. How to be filled with the Spirit. In the King James Version, Ephesians chapter number 5, reading the 19th verse, says, speaking to yourselves. Did you see that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the word yourselves there does not refer and should not refer in this case to one another. It's not one another. That's where King James and a few other versions miss it. They thought it's one another. Now, if we speak to one another, that cannot get you filled with the Spirit. Why? I want to tell you. Because the Bible tells us that when you prophesy, you edify the church. But when you pray with tongues, you edify yourself. Why? Because it's your spirit that's doing it, and it's you and God. So put that logic together. In this case, if you speak to one another, if you're speaking to this one in psalms and hymns, and how does it get you filled? No, it doesn't. So, what should be there is speaking to yourselves, which is correct. Speaking to yourself means I'm speaking to me, you're speaking to you, he's speaking to him. Okay, that's what will get you filled. In what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual song. You're speaking to yourself. Oh boy. Ah, I'm telling you how to be filled by yourself. You know, you just by yourself, you're feeling dry. But you just sit down there and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, you're speaking to yourself. That's what psalms. Or you stay there and say, oh, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and that's me. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm bearing fruit. My leaves are green. Now, at that moment, you're speaking it at first. You may be feeling dry, but later on, something is turning. You can even construct your own psalms. You don't have to sing David's psalm. You can construct yours. The Holy Spirit will give that to you. You talk to you, you know, all by yourself, you say, oh, I'm a blessed man. I'm so blessed in every way. Ah, my life is for the glory of God. Oh, I'm moving from glory to glory. See the beauty of the Lord around my life. See, the whole world wants to come from everywhere to see the light that is shining through me. You know, you're talking like that to yourself. You'll be stared from the inside. And before you know it, you are filled again. Some people talk themselves down. You wake up and the first thing you say is, ah, I don't understand. I'm just so tired. You already programmed your day. I'm just so tired. You will notice that everything you do that day, you will do it tiringly. And then when they ask you, say, I don't know, since in the morning when I woke up, I've been very tired. Because you already said it, you released it. Listen, you don't say, according to the word of God, we don't say what we feel like. It is wrong to say what you feel like. It is wrong in this kingdom to say what you see with your optical eyes. To say what is happening in your environment physically. What do you say? The word of God. The word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You're not supposed to be saying what you're feeling. Is it, should I now be lying again? Now is now that you're lying. Because you're supposed to say what God says. The Bible says, let God be true, every man a lie. You see that? And when you talk the word of God, because your spirit is recreated, your spirit agrees, bears witness. So at that moment you're saying those things, your spirit is leaping for joy. But your body is trying to get your attention. Your body says, no. Your soul that you have not renewed say, no, stop telling lies. You're disturbing us. Stop! But the more you say it, your spirit rises and takes dominion. Oh, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's Paul. As far as he's concerned, or he was concerned, he could do anything. You see, and that's why that word, can't, shouldn't really be in your vocabulary. Shouldn't really be. People say a lot of I can't. I can't do this. I can't. I can't see. I can't. They think that's the way to express it. You can't see? Yeah, but actually at the moment I can't see. You can't see? Is there no other way to put it? Then you get to be how old, you start using glasses. Because you already said you can't see. Hey, listen. You say, is that not too far? You're a spirit man. And plus that, your tongue is anointed. You don't just use your tongue anyhow. Listen, there is a lifestyle in Christianity. I know some people have described Christianity as a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle in Christianity. Christianity is not a lifestyle. It's beyond the lifestyle. Christianity is the life of God. The life of Almighty God. Tabernacle in a man, in the human flesh. Christianity is divinity working in humanity. Christianity is the expression of Almighty God through the human being on earth. That's Christianity. In other words, when they see a Christian, they ought to seek the extension of God. Oh, that's me. Glory to God. That's the life that we've been given. Not the life where you cower, you chicken out, and then you begin to shake. They don't know the difference. That's why I recommend you being filled with the Spirit all the time. All right, so the first one now is what we've given already. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Hymns. There are some good hymns. There are some bad ones. If you sing the bad ones, you'll be sorry. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thee. To the what? You don't know the song? To the cross? To the cross where thou art. Then draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Oh, you feel spiritual. Wrong song. How can you be saying he should draw you nearer to the cross? Is he still on the cross? Let's even leave that alone. Let's assume that you are even saying, draw me nearer, nearer, nearer to where you are. He's too wrong. You and God have become one. That's what the Holy Spirit came to achieve. So there is no drawing you nearer. You are in Him. He is in you. What have you become? One. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, that's oneness. So he doesn't draw me nearer. You see, be listening to your song when you're singing them. So that would be a wrong hymn. Those kind of things will only make your body feel good. You will feel like you're drawing near. You are not actually drawing any near. That's only your feeling. There are some nice songs. Hymns. That's why I love to sing the Blessed Assurance. Jesus is my blessed assurance. Jesus is my. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then you hear of salvation. Purchase of blood. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. That's my language. Then you sing it. This is my story. Oh, were you not listening to what you are singing? You're saying, this is my song. Oh, glory to God. Those are the kind of hymns. Those are the kind of hymns. Hymns that will stir up your spirit. That will show you the real light of who you are. Those are the kind of hymns that we sing. Not the ones that would dampen your spirit, bring down your spirit. You feel so sorry. And because something is sounding sweet or nice, does not mean it's right. Remember, it's not angel that wrote it. It's a human being. And he wrote it in all of the limitedness of his understanding. So, he only, his knowledge. So, he wrote down his knowledge. Even if you were under the inspiration of the Almighty, when he was writing it, remember, God is perfect, but the vessels are not perfect. So, God can only express himself based on the knowledge that you have. The knowledge of the Word of God. So you limit him with your knowledge. You see? But that thing will be coming out with power. But that does not mean some things are right. So never forget that. So you sing this hymn to yourself. Oh, brother, in the morning, sister, you'll be filled. You're going through the day. Oh, of course, you already spoke with tongues in the morning. So you were charged. But as you're going, you're meeting a lot of things. And it's like this thing is dropping again. The level of this thing. You understand? Like you have the level of your fuel. It's dropping, maybe in that generator or in your car. What do? You top it again. So, as you're going again, you top it again. You go into hymns, spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? Very, very interesting. Spiritual songs are these songs that you sing to yourself. Now, spiritual songs does not necessarily mean that you're talking to God. Is that what we have next day? Spiritual songs, right? Because some of you are looking at me like, oh, it's right there. I pick it from there. Now, this spiritual songs could include songs that you sing to God or you sing to yourself. But basically, they're songs for yourself because you're singing it to yourself. Remember, it says to yourself. So, you're singing it to yourself. And you're just singing like, you know, songs like, I'm a millionaire. Or I'm a billionaire. I own the whole world. I own the whole world. You just drank Gary. Your spirit will leap for joy. We own the whole world. I'm the seed of Abraham, so I can sing. I own the whole world. With Gary, I own the whole world. You'll be filled. Why? You're singing the language of God. That's consistent with the word of God. What does the word of God say? We are joint heirs with Christ. So that's consistent. I'm so happy I own the whole world. Then you go, I'm loaded. All by yourself. Those are spiritual songs. You sing the wrong ones, you'll be sorry. That will not get you filled. But when you speak, sing spiritual songs like this, you're filled again. All right. Now the next one says singing. So number one, speaking to yourselves. That's the first one. Number two, singing. I'm showing you how to be filled with the Spirit continually. Singing. That's number two. Singing. Singing what? This one has to do with singing with your mouth to God. Singing with your mouth to God. What are you singing? You're singing praises. You're singing worship to God. When you're singing to Him like this, you're filled again. Oh, you lift your hands and you're singing. Sometimes you may even be on the road, but you're singing to God. Darling Jesus, oh my darling Jesus, you're a wonderful. You know, right while you're singing it, your spirit is dead again. It brings home the consciousness of God, of His presence, because you're singing to God. Oh, those are the kind of things that will get you fit. You will remain a fervent Christian. Fervent, hot Christian. Not the one that goes up, come down. Some people think that's how God wants us to live our life. This way, that way. You say, I'm down today. I'm just down. I feel down. Tomorrow, I'm up. So when he's up, he will even preach faith. He will teach somebody else about faith. See, I'm telling you, God is able to do. But tomorrow, God will just have mercy on all of us. You see, what kind of up and down is this? Can't you just stay up? Just stay up. And from that mountain top, control things. See, that's my life. Ah, glory. Then, of course, the next one, making melody in your heart. Now, this one has nothing to do with your mouth singing now. This one is your heart. You're just making melody. Oh boy. Another version says making music unto God. That means in your heart you have the jazz, you have the guitar, everything is inside your heart. What are you doing? You're making music to God all by yourself. In your heart. And somebody say, what are you doing? Say, I'm not talking to you. I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to God. You're making melody. You can change the beat as you like. When somebody is doing it here, you have to watch out. That is not rhyme with my song. No! Right there, you can make it rhyme. Unto God. Oh! And while you're doing this, boy, you're stirred. That's how to remain filled. You don't have to be a Christian that is dry today, is alive tomorrow. You can continually, all through the day, just imagine, all through the day. No matter what you're doing. And the beautiful thing about this is that when you're making melody in your heart, you don't have to disturb anybody else. It's all by yourself. You can be washing, and you're doing so. You can be in the office, and you're making melody in your heart. Some of you must have experienced this one time or the other, where your heart is just singing. You're just singing in your heart. Your heart is singing. My heart sings most of the time. Just singing. Singing worship. Singing praises. The other fellow doesn't know why I'm quiet, but something is going on inside. You know, how can I be carnal? I will never be carnal. How can I be carnal with this kind of life? Continually filled. Whew. So that's making melody in your heart. And then, I want to move to the next one. What's the next one? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look, you notice something. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. I want to point out something there that you may not readily have seen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. I'll come back to that. And the Father. Now, what's the difference between God and the Father? in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says you give thanks to God, you give thanks to the Father. Now, usually, God, Jesus can be called God because he is. You know that, don't you? Now, the Holy Spirit can be called God because he is. You know that too. And Papa God in heaven is God. Alright, but in this situation, what does he want us to do? Because he's saying, giving thanks always for all things unto God separately. And then he says, and the Father. He doesn't say unto God and Father. That would have meant one person, one and same person. But that's not what he said. He said, unto God and the Father. So it's like saying the teacher and the principal. Do you get what is going on here? This would mean separate people. If you say the teacher and principal of the school, you meant the teacher is the same person as the principal of the school, right? But in this case now, it says, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God there would not refer to Jesus Christ because you are not expected to pray to Jesus in the name of Jesus. It doesn't make sense, right? Jesus said, you want to ask the Father, you ask the Father in my name. He says, don't ask me for anything. It's stupid to be asking Jesus in the name of Jesus. You can't come to me in the name of Apostle. Say, Apostle Peter, I come to you in the name of Apostle Peter. It doesn't make sense. You're supposed to use the name to talk to the Father or to talk to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to talk to Jesus, just simply talk to him. Okay, so he says, you're going to give thanks to God. So this God here will refer to who? The Holy Spirit. So you can thank the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus. And I want to appreciate you. I want to give you thanks for all that you're doing in my life. The beauty in my life. Thank you. Thank you. The food lands in front of. Thank you. I thank God a lot. A lot. For things that you wouldn't think I would thank God for. Sometimes I just look at my children and just say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just looking at them. Thank you, Lord. Because I can see the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I enter my sitting room. I just stand and look around and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank God a lot. You have to learn to appreciate God in those things. And those are the things that will keep you filled. I may not have to say it out. When I come into my compound and I look at where I live, I say, thank you, Lord. Not because the place is beautiful. That's not the point. The point is for the fact that he was even able to provide this in the first place. There are those who are sleeping somewhere under somewhere. You see, you ought to be thankful all the time. All the time. When you do that, you'll be continually filled. Some people think you can only be thankful when you have to set up a prayer. My prayer time is the only time you should be thankful. No, all the time. All the time. Even when you are in the bathroom. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. While you're still talking, the Holy Spirit interrupted you with something, told you something, just revealed something. Stop there and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, and continue. If I'm talking to you and the Holy Spirit tells me something, while I'm still talking to you, I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm continuing with you. But I'm going to say thank you. You see, learn to be grateful to God. Just learn to be grateful. Thank him all the time, copiously. Don't hold it back. Those things will get you filled. You notice that if you live that kind of life, you have your food in front of you. Thank you, Jesus. You just know there's a move in your spirit. Like you're filled again. He says, for all things. Give him thanks. For all things. So, the Holy Spirit there is God. Then he talks about the Father, which will refer to God himself. Papa God is our Father. He's called the Heavenly Father. Of course, the Holy Spirit is also our Father. But when you have God and Father together like this, it's good to give him the Father. So, you say, Father, I give you praise. Father, I thank you. Oh, you have beautified my life. Father, thank you. Do you ever stop to thank God for the fact that he gives you visions? He speaks to you. You have a pastor. You have a church. You have a heart for God. All those things mean a lot. Some people don't think they mean anything. They mean a lot. Oh, Father, I thank you. Thank you for the heart that you have given me. The heart that goes after you. Thank you for putting your name on me. Thank you. Thank you for choosing me as one of those that are citizens of heaven. Thank you. You know, you thank him for all those things. But some people, they are not ready. but they want another one. They don't even have time to waste to thank God first. You want to pray. Are you not supposed to have a period of thanksgiving first? No. They don't want to. They just straight away. Father, in the name of Jesus, remember, period of thanksgiving. Father, thank you for everything you've done. Amen. Unconsciously, they are saying, how many things have you done? You've not done this one. You are saying, how many? They say, thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you. And they say that one like they are singing rhyme. Thank you for the gift. Because they've crammed that. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the breath in my nose. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, ratazazaza. They bring the problem again. No. Let me tell you how I thank God when I'm praying. When I want to pray about something, if that kind of thing, I've had it in the past or I've experienced it, what do I mean? For instance, you're thanking God for the new, you want to pray for your wife's pregnancy, maybe. I'm not doing that now, okay? But I'm just telling you, maybe I'm praying for pregnancy for my wife, but then I've had a child before. The first thing is I go back to what he has done before and I take my time to thank God for that one. Lord, I give you praise. Oh, how you helped us when we had our first child. I'll be talking to him as though he was not aware of what he did. I'll be reminding him. There was a time that we needed money. Oh, you showed up, dear Lord. There was one time that you showed up. You raised men for us. Thank you, Father. Oh, how great you are. And as I'm saying it, I'll be stirred more. I'll remember it will bring home. Oh, it would have been shamed if not for you. After I'm done, I would thank him for that one. Then I say, Father, you did that one. You can do it again. You can do much more. And now I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Then I begin to pour out my mind. Pour out my heart. Liga, hakto, gisto, prande. Lord, I request for a miracle in this one. Mighty miracle. By the hand of God. You see, you're talking to God. It's real. And you pray and pray and pray. But you started with thanksgiving. Reminding him of how he helped you one time. What he did the other time. What he did the other time. So important. Not just rushed in. Not that way. It doesn't work that way. Okay. So giving thanks always to God and the Father. What's the next one now? Number one. What's number one? Speaking to yourselves. Number two, singing. Number two is singing. Number three, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Number four, giving thanks always. For all things unto God and the Father, of course, just giving thanks always. Then number five now will be submitting yourselves. These are the things that will get you filled. Submit. Some people don't submit. Listen, the more graced you are, the more humble you become. The more anointed you become, the more humble you become. But you have to understand humility, by the way. Okay? That's the fact. You see, you have to learn to submit. These are the things that get you filled again. Submit. You think about... I'm not talking about being so proud and rude. And because you are the one leading the praise and worship, say, everybody stand to your feet. Everybody stand up and they are standing. But the pastor is not. Everybody. You are still trying to then stand up. You are not standing yet. No, not that one. That one will be, you will be grieving the Spirit of God. Okay? So that one will not be right. Okay, so, submitting. You know, you could be in a group, in a department. That fellow that is the HOD may not be half your age. But because of God, you submitted. You see, he gives an instruction, you carry it out. You're not saying that's small rat. No, you carry it out. That's submitting. We are going to be doing this now. You're there submitting. You see, those are the kind of things that God honors. The Bible says he lifts the humble, he exalts the humble, he gives more grace to who? The humble is the humble. Did you know that Jesus submitted? He did. How can the great Jesus
Jesus was God,
mind you, and he's still God.
How could he go to John the Baptist? What's the guy baptizing? He went to him, and John, fear took John, said, no, ah, you're not supposed to be here, sir. You are not supposed to be here. Jesus said, let's do it, let's do this, so that we can fulfill the scriptures.
And then John laid hands on Jesus. You know, some people start ministry, nobody laid hands on them before they shoot out. Hands were laid on me before I ever started. He said, who did? Okay, stay there and be asking. If you're going to have a serious ministry in your life, if it's a serious ministry, you want to reach the world, that's what God has. Somebody must lay hands on you first. You can't just start and say, I'm going to. In a case where you have that, it will be very rare occasion, and that will be very rare. And God will deal with you another way. You won't escape it. He will deal with you another way for you to go. You see, Jesus had to go, and hands were laid on him by John the Baptist. It was after that that his ministry started. If hands were not laid on him, his ministry wouldn't have started. Because all things must be done properly. And when John wanted to, Jesus said, please, I beg, let me fulfill my ministry, sir. No, leave respect out of it now. Because the guy was afraid, I need to come to you. You are coming to me. Can you see? That means God could use anybody to lay hands on you. Whether you know more than the person, you're more anointed, that's not the point. All those things have to do with submission. Somebody could be your HOD. Somebody could be your cell leader. And the person does not know half of what you know in the scriptures. In fact, he's quoting scripture, he can't quote it very well. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He said, you see Jesus, his only begotten son. You know, he doesn't know much about it. But that's your cell leader. You're supposed to be humble. Listen, I was once under cell leaders, and I knew that I knew better than them. I had been under the pastor before that I knew better than. But I was submitted. He will be preaching, I'll be thinking in my heart, you know, the devil is a monkey. The devil will be bringing all the, this thing is not right. It's not, man of God is not right. God had to caution me one day. Say, stop it. I worked with a man of God one time. I had to work with him as his PA. He was put there as a pastor. Now, not qualification-wise, he just got calling. And I had to work as his PA. And I, the PA, knew better about the move of God than he. On one occasion, he was trying to minister, and the Lord said something, and he was arguing. I had to humbly go to him and whisper to him, say, this is what the Lord is saying. Please go ahead and do it. And thank God for him, because he's submissive. You know, he's humble. That's the word. And then he went ahead and did what God said to do. And from that day, the anointing moved. He came back to thank me later. He says, Brother Victor, thank you so much. Thank you. That day, he moved into another dimension in his life. That did not mean that after that day, I put my shoulders up like this and say, what does he know? What does he know? Maybe I wouldn't be here now. Submitting. God doesn't choose men because they're perfect. He doesn't choose them because they are very beautiful. Of course, he chooses handsome and beautiful people. Glory to God. But that's not the reason he does. He doesn't choose them because of that. Doesn't choose them because of their qualification. Doesn't choose them because of their educational background or because their parents are rich or something. No. It's by choice. Election by grace. He chooses the guy. That's why the Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, to shame the wise. The one that thinks is wise. He chooses that one that looks frail, like nothing will come out of, and then uses that one to shame the wise. The most important thing in the kingdom of God is just to stay humble. Just be submissive. Humble. Humility. Very important. And when you submit like this, oh boy, the Spirit of God will walk with you. Because it says it gives more grace. You just notice that in your life, you're moving from one dimension to another. Your spiritual walk.
because God will keep giving you more grace. He's watching you. He's following you. He's looking at your heart all the time. His eyes are fixed on your heart. Don't think his eyes are fixed on your hair. Say, this hair that I'm making is like Jezebel. God will not like it. His eyes are not fixed on those. No, the way I'm dressed, I have to look at it. His eyes are not fixed. All the time he's walking with you, he's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. If he's going to judge you, he's going to judge that heart. The Bible says he will judge the secrets of men. Your heart. How you respond to things in your heart. Know that those that could be kneeling down physically for a man of God or a woman of God. But inside their heart, they are standing. Wicked man. Yeah, but they are kneeling down. It's like that boy that the teacher in class, the boy messed up and the teacher says, "Hey, you! Get up!" And say, "Remain there." Punish the boy. And the boy says, "Though I may be standing outside, but I'm sitting inside." You see, that's rebellion. The true submission comes from the heart. From the heart. What is he singing? Can sing more than him. Is it because they manage to give you a microphone all the time? Okay. Your hand may not touch it. God will so organize it that even when you're singing, it will be irritating to people. You'll be jumping and sweating. Hey! Shake, shake, shake! You are trying to make them perform. And all the time you're singing and shouting, to the left, to the right, to the left, trying to make them do choreography. All the time, they'll just be sweating and be finding themselves. What you are doing is noise. Why? He's not anointed. He's not anointed. Anything that is not anointed is empty. And let me tell you another secret. Whatever you do for God that is not anointed is not accepted. He doesn't take it. That's why whatever you're going to present to God, he himself sanctifies it first. See, that's why I don't ever want to minister without spending time with God first. I have to spend time with God because I don't want to waste anything. My words will have to come by the Spirit of God. Impregnable. Impregnable of any form of doubt. But pregnant with the Spirit. Those are the things that are accepted. Those are the things that heaven accepts. But all those things come when you're submitted. Submission is not foolishness, sister. It's a level of maturity. It shows you're mature. I mean, you come in and somebody say, "Hey, get out!" That's your leader. And everybody's looking at you and you feel embarrassed. And you turn. Home. Or you stay outside, you are frowning all the time. If there is any spiritual guy there, mature guy, he would know that you have not grown, you are a babe. He would know. Except if all of them too, they are just like you. And they will come and agree with you and say, "What you did there is good, man. That was embarrassing in the front of everybody else. If I were like you, you even stood outside. Hey, you had patience. So if I were the one, I'll go home." That's another babe talking. Kana man. But for someone that is spiritual, no, that doesn't move anything. He thinks it's a level. Don't you understand? There are things that come up that God used to train us because of where he's taking us. Hallelujah. Say, "I live the Spirit-filled life." Come on, say it. Alright, so then, let me round off with this. Then the 22nd verse, in connection, submitting yourselves one to another, in the 20th verse, in the fear of God. You're going to do it in the fear of God. Then the 22nd says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Okay? Now, when you do this as wives also, you'll be filled. You'll be filled with the Spirit. You'll be filled. This may not be easy, but you've got to do it because the Word of God says so. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, by the way, I've given you the 5 points. But I felt, because Paul links this together, so I felt I should touch this also, because this is also included. This is still submission. 26 verse, right? 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, in the past, I used to think that he thought he said that husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and died for the church. But I discovered as I studied further that that's not what he was saying. He didn't say husband, love your wife and die for the church or die for the woman. Because some people say, Christ died for the church. Can you die for me? No. God never said anybody should die for anybody anymore. All right? But that's not what he's saying. Why? He say, how do you know? Very simple. You'll see it now. Because he says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He didn't mention death, but he said gave himself. So we pick it from there that gave himself means he died for the church. But he didn't die for the church. Jesus didn't die for the church. Jesus died for the world. The church is a result of those that he died for. So that would be a contradiction. The church came after his resurrection. Do you understand? It was his resurrection that produced the church. So it wasn't the church that he died for. Who did he die for? The world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have. So Jesus died for the whole world. Then after he died, his resurrection produced the church. So what is he talking about? Let's read on now. 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Do you know the reason? He's setting the reason now. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What is he saying? He's talking about Christ's dedication to the church. He gave himself. He dedicated himself. Committed himself. You've studied that Greek word. Give. Committed himself to the church. Jesus commits himself to the church. Why? So that he can cleanse the church. Look at it. So that he can sanctify and cleanse the church. How? Through the word of God. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they are cleansed. They cleanse you. They make you clean. Okay? So he dedicated himself to the church. What is he trying to say? Husband, dedicate yourself to your wives. Jesus takes care of the church in a special way. You know, when you're cleansing someone, what does that mean? You're taking care of the person all the time. He's taking away the stain. Why? So that he can present the church without spot or wrinkle, making the church perfect. So as a husband, you're supposed to help your wife too become spiritually, physically, in all way, in every way. You are committed to her. You're dedicated to her. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about you dying for her. Okay? You can't do it anyway. Jesus has already done it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to practice what we just listened to. So where you're seated, you're going to sing to him, worship him, and get yourself filled again. Oh, get yourself filled. Maybe you didn't pray at home, you rushed here, and so you couldn't be filled. Now it's time to be filled. Get yourself filled. Speak it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, so you can sing unto the Lord, making melody in your heart. You can make melody in your heart, giving thanks always. You can just be giving him thanks right now, submitting yourselves.
There's anyone in this place and anything has troubled your heart, that Jesus will respond to it. There's anyone here and you're struggling and struggling with sin and habit, Jesus will keep you from falling. You are protected. Your spiritual life is preserved. In the name of Jesus, as you go this week, God's presence will go with you as it goes in you. His manifest presence will be evident in your life. You will not make mistakes. I pray for you that everything you do will turn out successfully. No failure with you. For those that are still writing their tests, you are helped of the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. If you are a victor, say hallelujah! If you are a success. Shout hallelujah! If you are rich and loaded, shout hallelujah! Glory to God.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-087-643 or 0816-011-4389. Thank you and God bless you.